You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Test. This is rock and roll. Time to rock it from the Delta to the DMZ. Is that me or does that sound like an Elvis Presley movie? Viva Da Nang. Oh, Viva Da Nang. Da Nang me, why don't they get a rope and hang me? Hey, is this a little too early for being that loud? Hey, too late. It's 0600. What's the O stand for? Oh my God, it's early.
You know, Kim and I were just talking about this, about the draftee perspective, which Adrian Kronauer is part of it. So goes off to help in Vietnam and discovers what he discovers is not what he expects, and the story is what it is. But it sounds a little bit different for me after watching the series, the Vietnam War. But Kim Holmes, my heterolite partner, the head chef of All Marine Radio, joins us as he does on Friday. And, you know, I was musing, Kim, you're very much a part. I mean, Vietnam is a huge chunk of your life. You were part of the generation, fathered, born at the start of the baby boom, post-World War II. Father flew C-47s in World War II, flew them over Normandy. And so Vietnam happens, and it's young guys like you from around the country. We're going off to do their part in Vietnam.
Yeah, it's those were heavy times for all of us back then. But you know, a lot of folks got killed, and you know, it was just heavy. It's heavy, and I'm anxious to see that series.
You haven't seen it. Yeah, it's really interesting. I think this is just me. I think you'll find it interesting. I think you'll find it riveting. Because it rotates a kaleidoscope between North Vietnamese civilians, North Vietnamese combatants, Viet Cong combatants and villagers, which is the South Vietnamese perspective, the South Vietnamese military perspective, the American military perspective, the American civilian perspective, the American anti-war perspective, and the political perspectives of all three of those entities. So it's as Ken Burns rotates, you know, the perspective on that, you know, you hear things that you've never heard before, you know, and it's pretty, and it was in the wheelhouse of your life, right? You were born in 44. All right. What month?
March 22nd.
March 22nd. All right. I should know that. But so you get fathered before your dad goes off to fight. Yes.
Yes.
You're sired.
So, I was conceived as he went to war.
the summer of 43. All right, which I'm sure a lot of kids were. I think you'll find it fascinating. So you are 15 years old, 16 years old in 1960. As Vietnam. As Vietnam gets going, what was, because you were kind of, you're a middle class kid, right? Your dad passes away in a car accident, and then your mom remarries, and you say great things about the guy who raised you, who you call your father. But talk about having a dad who fought in World War II, Vietnam shows up. I mean, are you initially? I mean, it isn't initially. It's guys a little bit older than you. It's their turn to go over and do what their dad did. Yes, is that the initial you know, take of a young person in of Vietnam when it gets going?
From my perspective, it was showtime.
Right.
It was time to go. I got drafted a couple weeks before my 21st birthday. And so I went up to Oakland for my pre-induction physical. told me to bring a razor and a toothbrush, and that's it.
And what happened?
And I got classified 1Y.
1Y?
1Y, which...
What the hell is that?
That means my knees couldn't... they were all messed up at that time from high school sports, football and stuff. But they're the ones that pulled the trigger.
So you get classified 1Y, and then you wait to see if you're called up?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, if they need you, they'll call you.
All right.
And, Jesus, I just didn't happen. But yes, I was certainly ready to go because of my grandfather in World War One and my dad in World War Two. I just felt it was the right thing to do. That's what you do to defend your country, and I didn't listen to the politics of it and the anti-Vietnam War stuff, and then that started to. I don't know, when I went back to hotel school in 68, that's when that stuff started getting crazy. I just felt that it was my turn.
Right.
That's all.
Right. The other thing you get a sense of is as you watch the series kind of build, there's other things that are happening in the world. And I don't know, and I'd be curious about your opinion. Do you think the country's ever gone through a crazier year than 1968? The assassination of Martin Luther King in April, the Tet Offensive in Vietnam where, I mean, the whole country explodes, the assassination of Bobby Kennedy in the early part of June after the California primary, the Democratic National Convention we all watch on TV, the riots in Chicago, you know, Mayor Daley's police department just beating the hell out of everybody. You had even, you know, in last night's episode, which is during 1967, you know, there's just brief footnotes, mentions of the riots in Detroit, the riots in Newark that happened in 1967, and you think about the turmoil of of 1968, and I don't know, I'd be curious if the nation has had more turmoil in it than 1968. I'd be curious to find other years that had the kind of catastrophic events that it had. So,
I don't think, or in my lifetime, there's been anything as tumultuous as the '68 in that time. I was assistant food and beverage manager on. I've just gotten out of hotel restaurant school. And D.C., Washington, D.C., and I was on this boat, these boats that went up and down the Potomac River to amusement park and then across to Mount Vernon.
Right.
And we were on a soul cruise. The crew on my ship were probably 98% black and me and another guy and another white boy. And I got along. I've always gotten along famously. It was just fun. And the boat had 2,500 people on it. The bands were on the two floors. It was just rocking. And I went up and went dancing a little bit and came back down, and I'm in the cage, the concession cage, where the screens drop down and lock up at night. And it comes over that Dr. King had been assassinated. And all hell broke loose. The boat turned around. Furniture was flying off the boat. There were paddy wagons, and my crew threw me in the office and told me to lock the door. It was a steel door, and not that I would have had any harm to me, but they just didn't want to take any chances. And we got back to the dock, and there were paddy wagons just lined up. It was a terrible time. It was just an absolute terrible time, and it was just so sad. And I had never seen machine guns nests and tanks around the White House. It's after Dr. King was killed, and 14th Street just burned. That was 14th that empties into the Pennsylvania Avenue,
right,
and Constitution Avenue. Yeah, it was just a frightening time, I was always really respectful of the soldiers that came back from Vietnam and thanked them, I was waiting on a plane. For a plane to, I don't know where I was going, I think back to California one summer. And I'm in the airport, and these soldiers are getting off the plane, because you went from Vietnam to getting off a plane in no detox time.
Right.
No debriefing, no setting the soldiers up for what to expect, and to thank them for their service and all that stuff, and they just got vilified, and I got in a couple of altercations, shall I say. It pissed me off,
Wait, what do you mean? Were you you mean with other people that were giving them grief, or with soldiers?
Yeah, giving the soldiers shit. I said, come on, man, they just. Look where they've been for a year, or sometimes longer. A tour was 12 months, and these kids going over and coming back just with PDS and everything. It just wasn't right, and I didn't think it was right to treat the soldiers coming back that way. So I tried to be respectful, and I spoke up about it when I saw it wasn't happening
right
to the soldiers. That's all.
You know, let me ask you a question, because it is one of the, not one of, it's probably the worst part of Vietnam, in that the civilian population of the United States that is vehemently anti-war.
Yeah.
Takes that out on, you know, the guys who went over and fought. That seems so unlikely to me, that you would think that there was so the fury and the anger that those anti-war protesters felt towards the administration. They saw young American soldiers as part of the administration too, and took it out on them, as opposed to being the compassionate, you know, people that they, I don't know, that they seem to be. It just, to me, that behavior towards that group is still puzzling to me.
Well, it to a man, it wasn't a soldier's choice to go to Vietnam, believe me. And to see them being treated the way they were, you know, all that anger should have been turned towards the administration, not the soldiers coming home.
Right. It's just really odd that, you know, a group that, you know, peace, love, and all the rest of that stuff, you know, and anti-war, all of a sudden turns on young American soldiers. And I will tell you this, I mean, you know, that's why whenever I go speak in public, I always ask if there's Vietnam veterans there. And I always say on behalf of everybody who serves today, thank you for what you went through, because we don't get treated like that. People can be vehemently opposed to the war, but they don't say anything to us. And so the nation grew up on you. It's just a weird that such a group that was so about peace would turn on, you know, would turn on people their age. It just, I don't know, maybe we just weren't mature enough as a nation. We didn't know enough not to do that. But certainly an odd part of the whole thing that a group that professes to be so about peace would then turn around and be so absolutely brutal to Americans that deserved compassion and to be embraced. So it's an interesting part of that. When did you go to Europe? Did you go to Europe and all?
1970. October 1970.
Did you get? I mean, you obviously you're out of the country then, but was there a European perspective to all of that?
They were so anti-America and anti-Vietnam, and I got out of high school in '64.
Right.
And there was this monster. This is a quick story. There's this monstrous flea market in San Jose, and I bought this orange flight suit that the Air Force used to wear back in the day. And so I bought it. You know, this is the summer love kind of time stuff. And I sewed a big American flag on the back, and that's what I wore when I hitchhiked. And that's what I wore on the plane when I went to Europe. When I got off the plane in Luxembourg and hitchhiked into the youth hostel. And then, cause I didn't want to pay the money for the bus.
Right.
And a stupid move. But, and I wore that all the time. And I'd see these Americans, with Canadian flags on their packs, and they would first of all initiate the conversation, said, you know, you got an American flag on your back in an orange flight suit. What the hell are you thinking of? And I said, I'm a Yank. You know, we'd be called Yanks over there. I'm a Yank. So, and I'm proud of it. What's your problem? Well, we sold Canadian flags on our backpacks and stuff, so we're not picked off as Americans. I said, are you an American? And then it degenerated from there to scuffles. One time I got in a serious fight in a bar with Americans who had Canadian flags on, and it got my ass kicked, but, you know, it's just me. But I came back for more. It just pissed me off. You know, you're a Yank. Wear it. Be proud of it. No questions asked.
Yeah.
And that's the way it went until the end of the Vietnam War. When I traveled, I never took that flight suit off.
That had to be a pretty interesting look. You in the orange flight suit? Come on, man.
Oh yeah. I you know. My style of dress was funk chic.
I guess, man, that's a little bit loud though. The orange jumpsuit. I could see the green one, right? Kind of cool looking.
No, it was bright orange. In the flea market. And look, you know, it was a very colorful time back then for me,
for a lot of people, right?
Yes, it was. I didn't think it was that outrageous. I mean, it made me laugh. I thought, Jesus, people are going to look at me and go, well, the conversation has started already. You know, sometime it was good, sometime it was great, sometime it was god awful. But I always got a rise out of people.
Do you think? Hello. The my guest this morning on a Friday is the Almering Radio head chef, Kim Holmes. And we're musing about Vietnam on the heels of a discussion earlier we had about the with Will Cosentini about a number of things, about Vietnam, about women in combat, you know. So anyway, we've transitioned a bit. The I've got a food question. Now, I know your time is short today. Are you okay? Can you hang out with us for a few minutes? Or
I'm hanging out as long as you want. You got me all fired up now.
you sound good. Kim was a little bit under the weather. More of a okay. Yeah. We're gonna take a break. We're gonna come back and talk about a little cooking. More of a.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Well, no, you know what? You are a little bit of you're a piece of history and a different perspective. Truth be told, you know, when you look at where Kim worked, you know, in 1968, he's in Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
Didn't you tell me about being involved in a protest march that went to the Pentagon?
Yeah, the march on the Pentagon. And
You told me about that a while ago, yes?
Yeah, I did.
They had it on TV.
And I was just, they had I it went on, along.
They had it on TV. They had it on TV last night.
Did it?
Yeah, the thing was huge.
Did they show the American Nazis that were parading?
No.
Yeah, there were guys with Nazi armbands on that got pummeled. It was a beautiful thing. It was fascinating. And then that night, we went to a Jimi Hendrix concert. My buddy and I.
Wow. You know what? I was watching it and I thought, I think Kim told me about that he was involved in it. It started on the Mall and then it went over to the Pentagon.
Yeah.
It was like 50,000 people involved in it. Pretty
amazing. There were a lot of people and flower children sticking flowers in the barrels of the National Guard guns. We were just going along. My friend Jeremy Ferguson from prep school and I, he was going to school with George Washington. We were just walking along observing the people and just fascinated about what was going on, and we didn't go all the way over to the Pentagon, but we went across the Mall, and then we peeled off because we didn't want to miss the concert.
There you go. More practical matters. All right, we're going to take a break.
Hey, I had my priorities straight.
There you go. That's right. We're gonna take a break. More of Almering Radio coming up next on a Friday right here on the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it. This hour of All Marine Radio is brought to you by our friends at Battle Mug, home of the world-famous Battle Mug. Starts as 10 pounds of aluminum. It's milled, machined, anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with the serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug. Scope, laser, camera, light. Put a lid on it, and you're ready for the field. If you're inside, add a flag and an emblem, and you're set. Perfect for any commemorative event. Farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product at battlemug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. Battle Mug is a veteran-owned and operated company. The product is made entirely in the United States. Check it out, battlemug.com.
I'm an individual member. I joined the Global South Foundation because I believe in what it can do, and I also wanted to stay tied to the community that I was part of.
The benefits for individual members of the Global South Foundation are two things. One is networking, keeping in touch with the community, developing new relationships at any stage of your career. And secondly, it helps people stay abreast and up to date on the latest issues that the SOF community should be aware of.
The Global SOF Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marine.
MilitaryByOwner.com is an excellent resource for any military family moving to a new area. We found a ton of homes to choose from and purchased a house 8 days later. This was the only site I used. Thanks, Military by Owner.
Are you PCSing? Do you need to find a home near a military base quickly? With over 45,000 listings and 15 years of experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base, MilitaryByOwner.com can help. Military by Owner, proven and dependable.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Say
8:36 on a Friday. Got an email here.
Let's come back no more.
Email says this. Hey Mac, I have not seen any of the series. I've heard you guys talk about it. I'm going to catch up this weekend. Where do I find it? You can find it on public broadcasting, and I don't know the schedule that they rerun it, the episodes on. I can tell you that if you go to PBS.com, I believe you can find the first 5 episodes right now, and they may have posted more. So I would tell you to go to PBS.com and start watching there, and I would recommend that to you as well, Kimball. But again, I think you'll. Most of the Vietnam vets that I've spoken to, I mean, people have different issues with different parts of it, but I think the majority of them talk about, have used the word balance, And they, in particular, the Vietnam vets that I've spoken to, enjoy hearing the North Vietnamese and the Viet Cong perspective, which even though we've been a digital world for a while, I think most of America and America's military hasn't heard their opinions and their point of view like we've heard it in this series ever. So I think it's incredibly interesting, you know, to include, you know, school children in North Vietnam were taught what to do in order to capture downed American pilots.
Yeah.
And they showed them, you know, I can't remember they were being told to yell halt or stop or something like that. And, so it's just interesting things we've never seen. So, anyway, Kim Holmes.
One thing.
Sure.
How great is Ken Burns?
Well, you know, there's a lot of guys, a lot of Vietnam veterans that and Kim, you can imagine, because you know, in your life, you have a lot of friends that are Vietnam veterans, and people, you know, imagine how uneasy they are with, is Ken Burns going to be fair? Is he going to tell the real story, or is this going to be just another anti-Vietnam thing, anti-war thing, or is he going to try to lay out the truth in all of this?
He did it.
And so again, I think that when you watch it, I'll be curious. The thing I've heard the most is that Robert McNamara, who's really the architect, he's much like Donald Rumsfeld. He's disingenuous with the American people, and Burns treats him gently, which is interesting. Now, so anyway. I'd be curious to hear what you have to say as you watch it. But, I would tell you, that's where to find it. Go to PBS.com. And, in fact, I'll check that out right now to see how many actual episodes they have posted there. But let me read you an email, Kim.
Yeah.
Hey, Mac, I'm interested in doing a brisket on my grill. Does Kim have any pointers for me in terms of what to do, how to do it? Is there anything unique about a brisket?
Brisket.
Oops, sorry. Hey, could you first of all explain what cut is brisket?
Brisket is from the shoulder, it can be fatty, and it's not exactly a tender cut of meat unless you cook it for about 10 to 12 hours, depending on the size and weight of the brisket. And what you do is you, whatever dry rub you use on your barbecue, do it real, real thick, and you let that sit up for about 12 to 24 hours, and soak in the flavors of your dry rub, and then you, put it on your grill, and if you have a charcoal grill, you're going to have to stoke the coals every hour or two to keep the temperature right. If you're fortunate to have a gas grill or a green egg, you can regulate the temperature, and you cook it in direct heat. Always indirect heat, and so you put it on the cold side, and then your hot side you keep somewhere between 225 and 275, not any warmer than that. And a gas grill, you can, or the green egg, you control that beautifully, and then you just. You know, if you're going to have it in at night, then you put it on about 6 in the morning or before you go to work, and then you leave the lid on and the gas on, and it's on indirect heat. And that heat, in about 10 to 12 hours, depending on the brisket, it'll be fabulous. You know, the fat kind of renders into the meat and makes it juicy and tender. You don't take the fat off. That's about it. You know, my recommendation is to go to your butcher and ask him about the brisket. And if there's kind of a piece about 3 or 4 inches, thick that's, separated between the main brisket, and some people cut that off and do them separately. And that's how you get the burnt ends, which are real crunchy and juicy in the center. But you talk to your butcher about the size and the weight of the brisket. And check it out.
Why is it such a sought after cut of meat?
Because if it's cooked properly, you got a bark. It's called a bark on the outside of your brisket all the way around. And it has a little pink ring, inside the bark, the crust, so to speak. If you cook it low and slow for a long period of time, it retains all the juiciness. It doesn't dry out. It's the most flavorful, tender cut almost on the cow. It's really, quite exceptional.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's not an easy thing to cook unless you follow certain, instructions or directions. And first I would, read a little bit about it, find out how many minutes per pound you're supposed to cook it and how long. And it's by cooking it slow, it takes time to get in to the meat, and the crust forms on the outside to keep all the juices, the fat melting on the inside and permeating the meat with this juiciness. So when you slice it, it should just pour out.
It sounds like one of those great pieces of prime rib where you have that nice crusty exterior,
yes,
and the taste and flavor that goes with that, and that delicious prime rib.
That's absolutely true.
First of all, let me say this. If you go to pbs.org, you'll see very prominent on the website, the Vietnam War special. If you click on that and go to the page, there is, and you'll find, there's a tab that talks about episodes. There's 10 episodes posted on the website. And I would tell you that, at some point, they will take that down, and you can either wait till it airs again, or you can buy the DVD set. Evidently in the DVD set, there's more content, which means that I would probably purchase it. But you can go right now, to watch it. The episodes range from 90 minutes to 2 hours, right now there's 10 of them. I think that's the whole series. So, the 1, 2, 3, 4, the show tonight will be the last 90 minute show, and then everything after that is 2 hours. And again, how they work this thing is it'll be up there for a while, and then it'll come down and you can purchase it. So, by all means, watch it and enjoy it while it's free. All right, another email. So you got that information now. Another cooking email. Mac, I've heard you guys talk about grilling. Is there anything that Kim does, and then in parentheses, I live up in the Wyoming, Idaho, Montana area, We've got snow here. Is there anything he does to winterize his grill so he can still use it? I keep mine out on my deck. I keep it covered. I like using it. I just wondered. I've heard from him a number of different tips of cleaning the grill. Is there anything that he does during the winter to continue to use his?
Well, in North Dakota, it's too cold for me to use it. And there's usually, once the first snow comes, that's when the snow starts building on my deck. And it just, you have to keep everything so much hotter because the cold air here is difficult to keep a proper temperature for me.
Right.
Now, Idaho, Wyoming, it depends if you're up in the mountains, that's cold. If you have a deck and it's covered by any chance, or you have a garage and you keep it in your garage in the winter, and then you can open the garage door and roll it towards the opening, and you can use it then. It just you have to play around with the temperature. I was at a
is that the biggest issue? Is it because of the cold that you're just not able to get it hot enough again?
Yes.
I had a Marine tell me everything burns. You just got to get it hot enough. So might it mean that you need to preheat it for longer than you normally would, so that the metal warms up, so that you can cook?
Yes. I tried that on a deck with I cooked 4 prime ribs for a Harley a hog party at Christmas time.
Yeah.
That's a Harley motorcycle club that I belong to, and I was assigned to cooking the prime ribs, and I cooked them for 4 hours. And they were still rare to medium rare. I mean, I had to cook the hell. They were on there forever. I thought, we didn't eat. Well, the party was raging, so. But I put them on at 6, and we didn't eat till 10. 9:30 or 10, and, I pulled one off, and we cut into it. And I went, oh, fuck, well. Anybody likes it rare, it's ready.
Yeah,
I threw it back on it. But yeah, it was amazing. But yeah, the cold makes a whole different ball game out of grilling outdoors. And so that's all I've experienced with that.
All right. Here's another cooking one. Mac, if Kim told me basic spices that I should have to be a quality chef, what would they be? Spices? We've never done a spice questionnaire. What basic spices that you would have in your kitchen?
Well, salt, pepper. I would have garlic, whole fresh garlic. You can use granulated or a garlic powder, garlic salt. I would have cayenne pepper. I would have paprika. I would have you have dried herbs. I'd have cumin. I love cumin. That's used in a lot of Mexican and Asian dishes.
Right.
Absolutely ground cumin. You could have fennel. I love fennel seed. That's kind of a licorice paste for when I make sausage. I put a lot of fennel and garlic in sausage, and you buy fennel seeds, and then you have those little coffee grinders. Well, we have one just for spices to grind it up, to grind seeds up, like peppercorns if we want to. Do a coarser ground of peppercorn, but it's even. peppercorns you have to have. So you want fresh cracked black pepper in your pepper grinder. I have herbs to Provence, herbs to do Provence. That's a French herb blend. It has lavender, tarragon, and different oregano, basil. Those who you want to have on hand, oregano, basil. You want to have ginger. You can have ginger powder or get in the grocery store. You can buy a stick of ginger. Or, you know, it comes in like a root. Ginger is a root. And then you you can't eat the outside, but the inside, if you grate it in a grater, I love ginger. But just about whatever flavors that you want, you can find in that herb selection and spice selection. You know, there's a company in every grocery store that has a whole array of spices. And then, but you want to have the basics, garlic for sure, peppercorns, cinnamon stick for, and just, you know, whatever your recipe says, you can find it whole or chopped or powdered or fresh, like basil, oregano, tarragon. Those herbs, they now package in grocery stores in these little racks. And whenever you can use fresh herbs for spices, do it. They're more flavor. It's a fresher flavor. But the dried herbs and spices are equally as good and will work for you. Okay, and, you know, it's just look at the recipe. What's it say? And then you'll develop your own style of what things you might not like fennel, that licorice flavor. It'll provide you with a starting point to experiment with your soups or stews or whatever, you know, doing. You have to have some kind of hot chilies. You can buy chili flakes, you know, like Italian, when you go for a pizza place and they give you that little shaker with red chili flakes on it,
right, to heat
it up. And you should have that on hand. My wife loves it.
Really?
Fresh jalapenos, habaneros, you know, all kinds of different heat on peppers. So it's that's what makes cooking so much fun, is that you experiment with flavors. And, you know, you had something and you taste, and the more you experiment, the more you can taste these herbs and spices in a dish. And then you get knowledge for it. But you have to experiment and try. And that's it. Like, you know, Beth will make something, and she says, it's not too hot for you, is it? And I yes or no. And if I say no, then she jacks it up. It's just so much fun to use. That's a great question, is to use different spices and herbs and just see where it goes.
All right. First of all, Kim did a little overtraining that last week. So first of all, thanks for coming on and doing this morning. I appreciate it. And I'll just read you an email. Mac, it's interesting. And I know a little bit coincidental, Kim's life experience, as we all kind of watch what happened during Vietnam. appreciate his contribution to the program in a lot more than just cooking. It was interesting hearing him today about registering for the draft, about going down and taking a physical, and then just the different things he saw rolling around the country as a young guy. So love having him on. Wish him all the best. Appreciate the program. Have a great weekend. Your fans, man.
Well, you know, this radio show that you have started is so enlightening and so beneficial, not only to ex-soldiers, Marines, but to everybody else. If they listen, it opens a lot of eyes to people who kept blinders on during the Vietnam War and were one-trick ponies and didn't understand that, you know, we were asked to serve and we served, that's all. You know, and those that dodged the draft and stuff, you know, it was what it was. So, thank you. Thank you very much.
All right. All right. I'll talk to you a little. I will talk to you in a bit. And
thanks for
doing this.
My pleasure, brother.
There you have it. The official All Marine Radio head chef, Kim Holmes. We'll take a break. More of All Marine Radio coming up next. Are you looking for the perfect gift for somebody who's in the military? For a first responder? For a hunter? For an outdoorsman? Or somebody that just likes cool military stuff? I've got the perfect gift for you. The Battle Mug. Starts as 10 pounds of aluminum. It's milled, machined, anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with the serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug. Scope, laser, camera, light. Put a lid on it, and you're ready for the field. If you're inside, add a flag and an emblem, and you're set. Perfect for any commemorative event. Farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product at battlemug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. Battle Mug is a veteran-owned and operated company. The product is made entirely in the United States. Check it out. Battlemug.com.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
I'm an individual member. I joined the Global South Foundation because I believe in what it can do, and I also wanted to stay tied to the community that I was part of.
The benefits for individual members of the Global South Foundation are two things. One is networking, keeping in touch with the community, developing new relationships at any stage of your career. And secondly, it helps people stay abreast and up to date on the latest issues that the SOF community should be aware of.
The Global Soft Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marines.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SimperFiFund.org.